Luke 8. I'm going to read the first 15 verses and just note, beginning a series of three messages, really focusing on learning to hear God's voice, which is lifelong. It's like, how do I hear his voice? When does he speak? What are barriers? How do I step into those moments, etc.? And today's focus is going to be just how do we hear God speak? What are ways that he speaks? And are we ready to receive it? And so this parable of the sower in Luke 8 is kind of the setting. We'll do a little bit of an introduction when we begin, and then we'll dig into this parable. You might want to keep your Bibles open. We'll follow through some of that. And the notes I gave you today, there's quite a bit there because I'd like you to chew on it through the week. Take some time and go back and look through those words again. See what the Lord says to you through the week about what he's speaking today as well in our hearts. So Luke chapter 8, Jesus here. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. And I don't know if you define parable like I do. As a little kid in Sunday school, I was taught that it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's about as simple as you can get. So here's the story, and we're going to try to find out what that story has to say from a heavenly perspective. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And when he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." The disciples asked him what the parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." Here's the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, they retain it, and by persevering, they produce a crop. So we'll dig in. Listening for God's voice. I don't know about you, but I hunger for that every day. What do you want, God? It's not just the big things like, what's my purpose in life? Although that's certainly true. I want to step into God's purpose for my life, and I want all of us to do that. But it's even about little things. As I'm, God, is there someplace I have to be today that I haven't thought of that you want me to be there? And then stop and listen and hear what he may have to say. And sometimes you hear nothing, and so you go about as you've planned your day because you've asked God to start with. But sometimes there are times when he intervenes and there's interruptions along the way, and we just want to hear his voice. We hunger and thirst to hear our Father speak to us, don't we? I just think back to my own dad. I mean, I grew up in Holland, a very Dutchy community. We were kind of private about our emotions, right? We didn't let a lot of that flow. And I remember, it wasn't until 1988, and I was born in 1953, that my dad and I were at a conference together, and for the first time in my life, I knew he loved me. I knew he loved me. He watched out for me. He hung out with me. But for the first time, I heard him say, I love you. And it was like, oh my goodness. I knew it, but to hear the word. And for all of us, we hunger to hear God as he speaks to us. Sometimes it is a shout, I love you. Sometimes it's a whisper or a nudge. Sometimes he speaks to us in dreams and visions. And sometimes it's just silence. In the midst of it, we can sense his presence deep in what I call our knower. We receive deep in our heart the reality of who he is because the Holy Spirit resides in our heart as the presence of Jesus, and he's in tune with the Father, and he brings us what the Father has to say to us. But do we hear him? I think about when my kids were younger, and I think maybe most of us have had this experience. It would be so frustrating when I'd say something to them, and they say, yes, Dad, I'll take care of that. Yes, Dad, I hear you. And then nothing happens, right? Did they really hear? Did they really listen? Do they really know? Why is there no action here? And I wonder in my own life if there are times like that where God has been speaking and I've been so busy, I have just gone on with, yes, Lord, I hear you, and then I keep marching my own way, or I keep about my own stuff. And it may not even be bad stuff, but it's not the stuff he had planned for that moment and that day. And the Spirit is right there nudging and wanting to whisper and speak and with all of our senses talk to us in giving the word of God. So Jesus tells us that he only speaks what he hears the Father tell him, and we know that he spent a lot of time with the Father. I mean, he stepped out in ministry, and signs and wonders began to break out, and demons were being cast out, and the crowds grew, and they wanted to hear more and see more, and they wanted to hear from God themselves. And what does Jesus do in the midst of it? I mean, if the crowds are coming and things are rolling ahead, isn't it time to come together and have a crusade of some sort, right? We'll do a Billy Graham moment. But what does Jesus do? Luke 5:15-16. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. The second person of the triunity withdraws to listen to the Father, to hear what the Father has to say. As this Spirit-anointed prophet who speaks the good news, and this priest who brings healing to the brokenness, and this king who intervenes and drives out demons and takes charge and authority, here is Jesus withdrawing and praying. The most basic claims of Christianity are that God does speak to his people. In fact, you read through the scriptures, you can kind of Google it into your Bible app sometime, and God said. And you go through the Old Testament many times, and God said. And yet in the Old Testament, before the Messiah came, with the promise of Jesus coming, when God said, he typically spoke to leadership, the prophets, the priests, the kings, and the judges. And yet the prophets speak of the reality that there's going to be a time when God will speak to all people because the Holy Spirit will come and dwell within us and we'll be able to hear him speak. And so we have a Father who wants this relationship with us, who wants to speak to us, and we are all, as Father's kids, prophets and priests and kings who bring good news, who are used as agents of healing, who are there to say to the enemy, leave. Leave my household. Leave my family. Leave my property. Leave my kids. Leave my grandkids. Leave my great-grandkids. Because God's designed us to hear and to listen and to step out with both power and with authority. The problem is a lot of times communication is misunderstood. So, just getting pretty personal here, when my wife speaks to me, have I really heard her? She gets really frustrated when I haven't heard and I thought I did. Any guys have that problem? Yeah, thank you. At least one other has that issue, okay? Or I misunderstand her. Or if she's facing a different direction, we're going through a store together, right? And she's talking away to me and I can't hear a thing because I'm behind her and all the other noise around. And she thinks I've heard it all. And then I haven't heard any of it. And I didn't even know she was talking. And I haven't been keyed in, even being close enough to her to hear her. And I think those are worldly analogies, but I think, how close am I to God? Am I in His Word? Am I in a quiet place to hear Him from time to time? And sometimes in a noisy place, He still speaks to us. And if I have difficulty understanding the person that I love and know and have lived with the past 51 years, what about hearing God? Are there communication problems with God, and yet He's there to speak to us and to talk to us and to guide us and to hug us and to direct us? And I would say along the way, we'll come back and we'll break this down even more. I think He doesn't just speak through His Word. He certainly speaks through His Word, and whatever He says better line up with His Word. But the reality is, He speaks to us sometimes in whispers, sometimes through sight or hearing or tasting or smelling or touching. I've had it already where I've been in prayer ministry and I've been praying for somebody and trying to listen to where the Spirit is leading, and a smell will come to me. And I'll just say something simple like, let's prayer pause a minute. I'm smelling what smells like an elementary school. Does anybody relate to that smell? There's a certain smell of a school when you walk into it, right? Does that mean anything to you, I'll say to the person? And sometimes it means nothing, and that's okay. But if you don't listen and don't go down listening in all your ways, you miss out. And a lot of times you'll find out that there was something that happened back in elementary school that this person has struggled with for years and is seeking to find some freedom from. It's a part of God speaking in a variety of ways. And my prayer is that as we meander through this study over these next weeks, we'll be more in touch with how God speaks in a variety of ways through His Holy Spirit, who is right here all the time in our heart. The presence of Jesus, where Jesus said, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And He sends out His Spirit. In fact, the Father and the Son send out the Spirit, according to John 14, 15, and 16. And so Jesus gives directions to His disciples in John 16. He says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. And He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine." That's why I said, the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you. And so we want to listen. We want to hear. And we want to be careful. We want to hear and be careful and test that this is the Spirit of God along the way. Now, I don't have, like in the old days, we think about the president having a red phone on his desk, right? And he could call anybody in the world. Boom. I don't have a red phone on my desk that I can call God. He does not send me email. I pray for text messages because the Bible is full of text, right? It's a different way of a text message along the way. I wonder what FaceTime with God would look like if we think about the world that we live in. But sometimes He speaks so clearly that there's no doubt in my mind, God's speaking right now and I better listen. So whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Get your ears on. So we're going to dig into this parable for a few minutes. First of all, just note, and I've got this in your notes, the farmer in this parable is God. The seed is His Word. And the soil is the mind and the heart of each of us. What kind of soil are we when the seed comes from the Father? And Jesus uses this as a teaching lesson about listening. Here's a farmer who goes out to sow a seed, and as he went out, he's scattering it all over the different kinds of soil. You have to remember, in the Middle East in the old days, it wasn't like they just planted one plant here and one seed there, and they had nice little rows, and it was all lined up really good. They went out, and they just scattered the seed. It's called broadcasting. Broadcasting the seed out there. And certainly they would know areas where maybe it grew better and they'd focus on that area, but there was also the path along the way and there were weeds and thorns and there's soil that we're going to take a look at in just a moment. But it's scattered along the way. And as we look at the lesson of Jesus here, it's not like he's necessarily talking about four different kinds of people, but a type of soil, a readiness to receive and to hear and to respond and to take root and to grow and to bear fruit. If we go back to Jesus in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and you're here to bear fruit, fruit that will abound. So how do I hear God speak to me? First of all, I need to cultivate an open mind. I need to cultivate an open mind, and the hardened path is about a closed mind. Does anybody know people with closed minds? I think we all know some people with closed minds. My grandpa was that way. He had a closed mind to anything that was new. Only the old was the good stuff, and only Chevys were cars to drive. Don't try to convince me of anything else. And whatever it may be, we have this closed mind that is there, and the thinking here is that this hardened path is a closed mind. I've got to want to hear from God, and I've got to believe that he speaks in today's world. I've got to be ready and willing to hear from the one who breathed life into me to begin with. If you were to be asked by somebody, have you ever heard of God? You would probably respond, I've never heard an audible voice of God. I think sometimes I have senses of the voice of the Holy Spirit, who's the presence of Jesus and the Father speaking to me, and sometimes the nudge will come after I've heard something like this. And when I sense the it's like, listen up, Tom. It's rare. It happens. It's meaningful. And I don't know how he'll do that with you, but do we have an openness that God wants to speak to us 24/7. He wants to speak to us in the middle of the night. I mean, sometimes I'm in this middle of the night kind of moment when I'm not sure if I'm awake or I'm sleeping, but my brain is wide open to listening, and I'm hearing stuff that I'm wondering, what does that mean? And I'm beginning to ponder on that in the middle of the night. Not so much a vision at that point, but a moment of just listening in to hear what God might have to say in that moment in the deepness of my knower. And I want to be able to hear the one who's breathed life into me. I want to know that he wants to speak. And maybe we've made kind of a list in our Western culture about what kind of person you have to be to hear from God, right? So maybe you think you have to have a certain level of spiritual maturity. And maybe you can't even step out in the gifts of the Spirit until you have a certain level of spiritual maturity. And maybe you can't have dreams and visions and signs and wonders and all the above. And maybe you don't have power and authority if you haven't memorized enough scripture and if you haven't gone to church enough times and all the barriers that we kind of build culturally into how we might be able to hear the voice of God. And yet God comes and speaks to us and wants to speak to us, but if our mind is shut off, and we don't believe the possibility, we probably are not going to hear from him. It doesn't mean that we might not be a follower or a believer, but if we want to step into the works God's prepared in advance for us to do, we need to have our ears on. I think there's Jesus, the person who has ears to hear, listen, be tuned in. And I have to say that as a kid, I can remember times when I was sure God was speaking to me. But I didn't find a safe place where to go with that in the culture I grew up in, the church culture I was a part of. I mean, who could I go to say, I'm sensing the presence of God speaking to me in this way? Where will I go with that? And so as I think about the seed here, I realized that after a while in my own life, my tuner was turned off. Like, well, God doesn't speak that way. It's just in your head. It's just for the charismatics, right? It's just for people who are this kind of a religious person, and they hear from God, and we don't believe that in our theology, and so we push that to the side, and you got to be really cautious. And do you need to be careful? Yeah, you do. I've seen many people hurt by somebody who said, I've got a word for you from God. And my response has become, I'll listen, but if that's a word from God, I need to hear it here from God, and he'll tell me about it. I need to listen to him, and that's a part of the adventure that we're on. How do we listen for that? Sometimes it's hardened with a path because of constant traffic of people walking, and it's compacted, and so it's not fertile. It's this first soil. And second, this is probably a crude analogy, it's narrow. The paths are narrow, and there are many narrow minds in the world today that are not open to hearing that God does speak, and he does have a plan, and he is going to use us, and he does love people, and there is a heaven, and there is a kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and we get a taste of it. So as a result, Jesus says the farmer sows seed, but it can't penetrate because it's hard and it's compact and it's narrow and it's not going to hear. And it may be true of us. Maybe our minds are closed. So what might cause a closed mind? I came up with a couple of things. One is pride. When I feel like I don't need God and I don't need to hear from God and I can make business decisions on my own, I don't need God. I know what to say to my children. I don't need God. I know how to handle this date. I know about my career. I know about this job. I don't need God. I can ace this test by myself. I don't need God. And I believe any time I fail to pray about something, I'm basically saying, I don't need God. Anytime I stop asking God, what are you saying? I'm going to miss out on what he has to say. And I believe that even as we gather to worship, it's like at the end of a message, what did God say to us today? And how am I going to respond to that? And was he here speaking? It's not just Tom speaking. I don't want to get in the way of what he wants to say. I'm not God, and I can mess it up, but he can still use it and speak to our hearts where we're receiving. But pride can get in the way. If I don't need God, there's an issue there. Fear. Sometimes we're just afraid of what God might say to us. Anybody experience that? Like, do I really want to hear from God? I remember as I was adventuring in college, got married young after 1 year out of high school, just, God, what do you want in my life? And there was this nudge along the way. I really wanted to go on and get my PhD in sociology and do research and statistics the rest of my life and study groups of people, and I couldn't wait to do that. And then in my senior year of college, it was like God spoke and said, see that seminary across the pond? You need to go there. And it's like, you're kidding me. I don't know Greek. I don't know Hebrew. I'm not theologically or academically really tuned in. I enjoy life. I had all kinds of excuses. And yet there he was, and there was this nudge that was taking place. And it was like, I don't know. Preachers are so stodgy. Do I really want to be one of them? Is that really what you're calling me to, Lord? And so there was this kind of this fear at that moment, or maybe even more so. So in the big church I grew up in Holland, we had all kinds of missionaries we supported, and they would come back after their 3 years out for furlough, and then they'd come to our mission society meeting and share all their stories about Africa. And it was like at that point there was a Christian artist who was singing a song entitled, Please Don't Send Me to Africa. And it was kind of like, you know, I don't know, Lord. I don't want to go to Africa. No, you don't have to go to Africa. I don't know where you're going to go, you know? So there's this fear. Or maybe I'll become a religious fanatic, like one of those TV evangelists. Or maybe I'll be a religious nut. Or maybe I'll lose my freedom. Or maybe I'll lose my fun. Or maybe I'll lose fulfillment in my life. Thanks, God. Closed mind. Fear. Bitterness. Whenever you've been hurt, we tend to hold on to hurtful memories. And that causes us to sometimes close our minds to God. And we start out saying things like, and this is pretty normal, God, why did you allow this to happen to me this way? Why is this happening? If you're such a great and loving God, why don't you intervene, God? Why don't you come on my behalf and take care of the issue? And the reality is we're going to get hurt in life. And pain is going to be there because this is heaven on earth. It isn't heaven yet. And we get a taste of heaven on earth. But God has given us free choice, and people are free to do wrong things. And the result is that innocent people suffer. Bad things happen to good people. I'm convinced at age 17, when I was broadsided by a drunk and nearly died, that it wasn't like God said, Tom needs to learn a lesson. It's a broken world. Did he cause that person to drink too much and drive? That person made a bad choice. And we live in this brokenness. And what we got to remember is in our broken world, he is right there. We need to run to him and not run from him. We need to understand he's there with his big arms. And I believe when Jesus was there with Mary and Martha and Lazarus had died and they had called for Jesus and he waited for 3 days to come, they were so disappointed he hadn't come before Lazarus died because it was like too late now. And there's this whole conversation between Mary and Martha and Jesus there with the tomb ready to be Lazarus' place of burial. And one thing I read is really, I think, a prayer of intercession. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And I don't think he wept so much because he was sad, but he wept because this was a prayer of intercession to the Father and to the Spirit. And he was interceding on behalf of Mary and Martha and all those who were grieving. And he wept at that point. But in the midst of the hurt, we can so quickly find ourselves buried in the grief that we experience. And we forget that the Father is there, and the Spirit is there, and Jesus is there, and they all know each other, and the three in one is a mystery. I can't describe a whole lot of detail about all of that. All I know is that they're in communication with each other. And when I pray to the Father, the Spirit and the Son are listening. And when I pray to the Son, the Father and the Spirit are listening. And when I pray to the Spirit, the Father and the Son are listening. And the three in one are all engaged. And yet we have this communication that can take place. And yet there's the hurt and the bitterness can come. And some of us have lost a loved one, and the pain is really fresh. Some of you and us were abused as kids or molested. Some have been verbally abused and physically abused and emotionally abused or betrayed by a spouse or hurt by other people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. If that's what Christianity is about, no thanks, God, and the bitterness shuts us down from hearing the love of a father who is there with unfailing love for his kids because he cares for us. And all I can say is, I'm sorry for your hurt. I believe God hurts with you, and Jesus weeps with you, and the Holy Spirit is right there. He has not abandoned you. He's right there holding you close. And I invite you to run to God, not to run from God. And let the Lord heal what I call your hidden wounds. He's at work in our lives. I think a second thing, and some of these points will be shorter and longer. We'll kind of see where the Spirit leads. I need to allocate time to listen. I need to take time to hear him, and I need to be slowed down and quiet and planted in my schedule. I mean, how many of us have leftover time in our schedule, right? Like, I don't know what I'm going to do today. Even as we get older, I don't know what I'm going to... Really? I'm amazed at how much God has, and we have this busyness in our life, and how do we slow down in here, and everything is so sped up in today's world. Like, I want this next day. I mean, 10 years ago, we couldn't have dreamt about going online and ordering something in 24 hours it's at our door. Where I live in Grand Rapids, we're close to Amazon. There are some items, when I click it on and I want it, they're at my door in 2 hours. It's like, how did that happen? Or food delivery. You know, boom, it's there. So many things that speed life up. And I think in this hurried lifestyle, God gets shortchanged. We want to hear from God, but it's more like, speak now, Lord, speak quickly and keep it short. I've got stuff to do. I find myself there a lot of times. I'm busy, Lord. Don't interrupt my day. And what I find out is that a lot of times what I see as a disruption or an interruption to my life is the Father inviting me to be engaged in the kingdom work that he's doing in somebody's life. That there's an interruption in my life that is not an interruption in his plan. That he has a plan and he wants to be there. So when we live in this fast, hard, running kind of environment, there's this other seed that was falling on shallow soil with rock beneath. And this seed began to grow, but it withered and it died because of a lack of moisture. And in verse 13, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word of joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe it for a while, but in a time of testing, it falls away. And sort of like the hardened path represents the closed mind, the shallow mind was this rocky soil. Now, you got to understand, it wasn't like there was a pile of rocks on top of the soil. You got to understand in the Middle East that the soil in much of the country is actually only maybe 2 to 3, maybe 4 inches deep, and then there's a solid rock shale underneath that. So the roots have no place to go. The moisture is there, plump, it's gone. The moisture is there, plump. It's kind of like, is it a brown season or a green season, depending on moisture and heat and sun and all the above? And so there's this hard soil and there's no place for root to take place. And when the heat is on, it's not going to last very long. Sometimes the heat is on in our lives and we're on rocky soil. And we receive the word with joy, but we have no root. So where do we get roots? I think it begins by spending time intentionally with God. Spending time intentionally with the one who created us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I find it intriguing in my own life. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'll do it till the day I die. So I get to talk to the Father. And some days it's more like I need to talk to the Son today. And other days it's more like I got to talk to the Holy Spirit today. Because I realize that I need them in my life, and they understand the three together, who I am. And the Father who created me knows me and how he's created me and given me gifts and mission and passion and all the above. And Jesus knows that he came to pay the price for my life. And the Holy Spirit knows that he's here to empower me and to lead me on and to equip as pastor in all of us as prophet, priest, and king. It's a call on all of our lives, not just for somebody who went to seminary. We need to have that call in our lives. So we need to have roots. Take time with God with intentionality. A little thing I do, along the way, internet became more important than God, right? So do I check, first of all, when I open up my computer in the morning, do I first of all check to see what my word is for the day as I walk through Scripture and what my reading is, my daily devotions, a couple of them that I follow every day? Or do I first check out to see what emails I got? And I got to tell you, emails can distract really fast. I can lose a couple of hours really quickly. And by the time my brain has gone down all the responses and stuff I'm dealing with all the emails that you try to unsubscribe from and the ones that aren't important that all come running at you, it just gets in the way, I believe, of hearing the voice of God. And I need to stop and pause and prioritize and be able to ask God, okay, God, what's next? I know that I can quickly be over here or over there, that I need deeper roots. I need to spend time with you. I need to be fed by the living water and the bread of life and all that you have to give to me. God, I've got my ears on. Will you speak to me? And then there's a third soil. It's one about eliminating distractions. It's sort of connected to what we were just talking about, that we're filled with the concerns of daily living and worries and goals and ambitions and bills. Yeah, it's all a part of life. And when our mind is full and we're always thinking about all this stuff, is there a chance we'd hear God in the middle of all of that, or have we blocked him out? So Jesus is here. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And then in verse 14, in describing that, he says, the seed fell among the thorns, and it stands or represents those who hear the word, but they go on their way, and they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures. A preoccupied mind is the way I would phrase it. We're distracted so quickly by worries and riches and pleasures, and we need this time with God. Let's look at worries for a moment. Worries can distract us from hearing God speak. It's hard to pray and worry at the same time. The Greek word here about worry simply means to be pulled in different directions. And that's where worry comes to me, is when I'm pulled in different directions. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go with this? And so worry is there. And when that's my posture, it's hard to hear. So I got to give my worry. I think it's why so many times in Scripture it says, don't be afraid, don't be anxious, but in everything by prayer and petition, come to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what you do with worry. You can bring it to him and give it to him and say, you take it, Lord. I can't carry this worry. And then there's riches. Riches can be a weed in my life. We get busy making money, so busy making a living that sometimes we never really live. And we don't enjoy life. And we're always thinking, if we just have this or we just have that. I know my wife and I are a little bit addicted to watching HDTV because we've done a lot of renovation in our own house. And sometimes I walk into a house that people are going to spend $150,000 because it isn't the way they like it. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And then I think about my own life. What areas of my life am I wasting time and energy on something that really in kingdom sight has no meaning at all? Other than maybe who are the people I might meet in the middle of all of this? What are the other kingdom reasons for being involved in what's taking place here? Riches can be a weed in our life, and pleasures can as well. And I think for most of our culture, and maybe for many of us, if we could delete one verse out of the Bible, it would be the one about riches and worries and pleasures. If we could just take that out, and then we could just do what we want to do. But that's our culture. That's the world we live in. And I believe God is here not because he doesn't want us to have fun. I think he created fun. He created us with senses of humor. He created us to enjoy his creation. He created us to have good times together, but always go back to that foundation of he's our creator, and that's where my freedom comes. And when the stuff that God gave us to enjoy is what gets worshiped rather than used and resourced and thanked for, there's a problem, and the weed gets in the way of our growth. We're soil that's hard to grow and hear and listen at that moment. And then finally, I need to cooperate with what he says. It's called a willing heart. It's why I ask God, what are you saying? And then, oh man, what am I going to do about it? And it isn't that I'm saved by what I do about it, and you aren't saved about what you do about it, but it's where we grow. It's where we begin to bear fruit. It's where we're connected to the vine Jesus and the Holy Spirit's at work and taking the passion and the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit that has been given to us and growing in all of that fruit, because we all have all the fruit, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the loving kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness and the gentleness and the self-control. All nine of those, if you're a follower of Jesus, you got all nine. You don't have all the gifts. You got some gifts. Because you're a part of a body, and we all need those parts together. I need all of you And we all need each other in a way that God is knitting us together. And there are others in our environment, in our culture, that need to be a part of who we are. And God will bring them to mind, and He'll have us pray for them, and He'll have us in a relationship where they're ready to listen and hear, and maybe an invitation, not just come to church, but come meet Jesus. Come see what drives my life. I just know statistically, Barnes is, and he's a leading researcher, that if you invite five people that you're in relationship with to come to something engaged in church or culture of that sort, the one out of five will come. So you might have four people who say, I'm not going to come, but you have one who does. So just, Lord, where are you leading and guiding, and how do we follow you, and how do we come to that place? And so here's this willing heart. The seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word of God and retain it by persevering in producing a good crop. Retaining, not only hear the word, but they retain it. Write it down, listen to it, think about it, reflect on it. And so I've mentioned many times Hebrews chapter 12, and I feel free to repeat myself many times because I'm sure Jesus repeated himself all the time. It's how the disciples knew what he wanted and that they needed to follow him. So Hebrews 12, I think, really comes in here when it comes to the good soil. So we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And these witnesses aren't just cheering us on, but these witnesses are showing us the way. Who are witnesses in my life? I have an uncle who was a witness in my life, who back in the late 60s, early 70s, when I was a ripe teenager, followed the lead of the Holy Spirit in a way I'd never seen anybody follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. And he spoke about it, and he retained the reality that God had him around for a purpose in life. And he took action on it. And over the years, I kept looking at that and thinking, I can learn from that. There's something that I'm hungry for there. There's somebody whose eyes are focused on Jesus. There's somebody here who is a witness. And when we have these witnesses, we throw off everything that hinders. Are there good things in your life that hinder? There are good things in my life that hinder. There are good things that I enjoy that may get in the way of what God has for me. The good things are not necessarily sin. They may just be blockages to what God has for us. And so we take them and we throw them off. That thing is hindering. It's getting in the way. It's sucking up my time. Do I really need to watch reality TV for X amount of hours a day? Do I really need to learn from NCIS and all the different versions of NCIS? Are there, and I'm not saying anything against any of those, but when they capture my heart and my life, and I'm not spending time with God because I don't have time, I've got to back off for a moment. This isn't about guilt, it's about direction. God, do you have something for me? Are you going to speak to me here? Throw off the stuff that hinders and the sin that entangles. And we can name sins. Sin entangles. But consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So what about a life that counts? What about a life that is focused on Jesus? Don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourself, but do what it says, is what the brother of Jesus, his name is James, in James 1:22 says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Not because you're going to earn something, but because your sons and daughters are the one who created the universe and created you for such a time as this, and has you here as a part of this body for such a time as this. So whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Or in the message, the way Eugene Peterson put it, are you listening to this? Are you really listening? And always remember who you are when you open this word. When you spend time in prayer, God is the Father and you are the child. And nothing can happen that would cause him to love you less or more. He loves you as his son and daughter. He loves us as his family here. And he cares for us. And I pray that as we tune our ears together and we keep learning together, that we'll remember who we are and remember the Father wants to spend time with you and with us. Amen? Amen? Amen. So Lord God, I thank you that we get to spend time together. Together here as a family called the River, but I thank you that we get to spend time, each one of us, with you, that you care for us and you have a plan for us and there's hope that we have for our future. And I pray that you will lead and that you will guide, that if there are areas of our hearts that have been hardened, if there's bitterness that we need to let go of and let you take it over, that we'll release it to you and let you take it. And the load that is carried is a load that is carried by Jesus on the cross where he paid the price for us, and we'd never forget that. And we'd step out in obedience every day just to say to you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.